Good evening. Bannon is busted. Trump says it's sad and wishes Joe Biden luck. Kamala accepts and a judge rules against the community on the Lower East Side. With these and other stories, I'm Paul D'Arienzo with the WBAI News for Thursday, August 20th, 2020. California is suffering a major outbreak of fires, 24 by last count, sparked by more than 11,000 lightning bolts over several days. The fires have destroyed 175 structures, including homes, and are threatening 50,000 more. 33 civilians and firefighters have been injured. Most of the fires are in Northern California, where nearly 500 square miles, an area almost twice as big as New York City, has been scorched. Several national parks are also threatened by the spreading fires. In Southern California, firefighters worked in brutal heat to contain fires in mountains north and east of Los Angeles. Meanwhile, the Democratic National Convention is preparing for its final and most dramatic night, featuring a speech by the nominee, former Vice President Joe Biden. Earlier today, President Trump was in Scranton, Pennsylvania, in front of a friendly audience. He gave well wishes to the Democrat.
He's going to make a speech tonight. It's going to be very interesting to see how he does. And I hope he does well. I'll be honest, I do. I hope he does well. I really hope he does well. But I also want him to tell the truth. He's got to tell the truth about things. And he's going to do a lot better if he does, but hopefully not well enough. Right now, we are leading a war. That's incredible. But right now, we're leading in so many polls that they refuse to put out. We're doing so good in this state, in North Carolina, in Florida, in Texas, in Ohio, in Michigan. You know how many car plants are being built or expanded in Michigan? We're doing fantastically in Michigan. We're doing great in New Hampshire. These are real polls. These aren't suppression polls.
President Trump today. Although Trump fancies himself the champion of blue-collar white workers, he didn't mention yesterday's tweet where he called for a boycott of Goodyear tires after learning the company's diversity policy had banned his signature red Make America Great hats. Goodyear employs tens of thousands of workers in Battleground State, Ohio. Trump also spoke about how he saw his achievements in office over the last 4 years. Top of the list was his anti-immigrant rhetoric, but he didn't mention his wall, meant to blockade migrants from Mexico. Earlier today, Trump's former top advisor, Steve Bannon, the architect of the Mexican wall, was charged with defrauding donors to a private fundraising effort called We Build the Wall. Bannon was arrested early Thursday on a $35 million, 150-foot yacht that was off the coast of Westbrook, Connecticut. Coast Guard, federal postal inspectors, and special agents from the United States Attorney's Office in Manhattan boarded the vessel, which belongs to an exiled Chinese businessman. The acting United States Attorney in Manhattan said Bannon and his three co-defendants capitalized on the interest of small donors, falsely telling them that all the money would be spent on construction of the wall. Trump had this to say.
Well, I feel very badly. I haven't been dealing with him for a long period of time, as most of the people in this room know. He was involved in our campaign. He worked for Goldman Sachs. He worked for a lot of companies, but he was involved likewise in our campaign and for a small part of the administration very early on. I haven't been dealing with him at all. I know nothing about the project other than I didn't like, when I read about it, I didn't like it. I said, this is for government, this isn't for private people. And it sounded to me like showboating, and I think I let my opinion be very strongly stated at the time. I didn't like it. It was showboating and maybe looking for funds, but you'll have to see what happens. I think it's a very sad thing for Mr. Bannon. I think it's surprising. But this was something, as you know, just by reading social media and by reading whatever it is and by speaking to Mike and all of them, I didn't like that project. I thought that was a project that was being done for showboating reasons. I don't know that he was in charge. I didn't know any of the other people either. But it's sad. It's very sad.
Bannon pled not guilty at a court hearing in Manhattan this afternoon. Donald Trump Jr. publicly promoted the We Build the Wall effort at an event in 2018, calling it private enterprise at its finest. There were other holes in the president's denial. In May, Customs and Border Patrol requested letters of interest from private companies for the purpose of building the wall. But recently, the Supreme Court ruled Trump has the power to shift Defense Department funds for other purposes, such as building a wall. The executive director of the watchdog American Oversight is Austin Evers. He says Trump's use of private contractors to build the wall is ripe for abuse.
Privately building this wall not only violates one of the president's main campaign promises to have Mexico pay for it, but it opens the door wide to a corrupt administration to favor its friends, to give away taxpayer dollars for stupid projects. Steve Bannon's illegal private wall efforts are the most successful wall building enterprise of the last 4 years, and he got indicted for it today.
Didn't the Supreme Court just recently rule the president had the right to defund other parts of the government in order to pay for the wall?
Among the many issues that the wall project is emblematic of, or the way that the president has circumvented many of the pillars of democracy to try to drive through his agenda. And one of those ways was to declare an emergency on the southern border and try to divert money from the Pentagon or other sources to fund a wall that Congress wouldn't fund itself. Unfortunately, as those cases in court have resolved, we've discovered just how much breadth of authority the president has to move money around. But if you step back and you're almost 4 years into an administration, and the best President Trump can say is that he is trying to take money from the Pentagon to build a wall that he said Mexico was going to pay for, that has fallen down in windstorms and no one really believes is necessary, I'm not sure he's going to get kind of the big win he's looking for.
Many reports about the failure of the wall, that in fact, it was easily circumvented by smugglers, that it was an $18 saw blade you could buy and put on a $100 reciprocating saw, could cut through it with ease, that it was really a total failure, even as its stated purpose.
President Trump likes to talk like he was the first person to think of a wall as a border security option. But clearly, we've had walls on the southern border for many, many years. Where there wasn't wall, often it's because it wasn't the right solution. And where there has been wall, it hasn't been impenetrable. He dramatically simplified the problem and the solution, and we're seeing the results. The wall is a perfect example of how that he hasn't drained the swamp. He's made it so much worse. Again, we saw people get indicted today because grifters like Steve Bannon recognize the wall as a place where their corrupt machinations can flourish. Earlier this summer, the Border Protection, put out something called a request for information, basically polling companies for ideas on how to secure the border with technology. And if you look at this RFI, it is very vague. It stands out. It's a different type of document. It's not a normal document. It's very vague. It's basically inviting private companies to propose their own technologies and solutions to border security. And when I read it, I saw just a recipe for the Trump administration to give away taxpayer dollars for some cockamamie scheme. It's like the MyPillow guy is going to come up with a wall made of pillows and Donald Trump's government will buy it. And embedded in that document was also the idea that maybe the government would be willing to give away public lands to private people who want to build wall themselves, free from government regulation. It is an absolute recipe for waste, fraud, and abuse.
So I guess what I'm getting at is the president of the United States a crook?
I think we have seen certainly that this president associates with crooks, facilitates crooks, has used the arms of government to feather his own nest. And I guess my only hesitancy to saying that we have a president who is probably a crook is that I kind of want to make sure we get the full bill of particulars against him before we reach a final conclusion. But it's not looking good.
Very good. Anything you'd like to add?
The wall was supposed to be emblematic of what a Donald Trump presidency would be good at. He said he's good at building things. He said that he can get things done. He thought he saw a problem that no one else saw and that he alone could fix. And 3.5 years in, we're actually seeing that it's emblematic of how much of a failure this president is. He has achieved approximately 3 miles of new wall construction. He has facilitated the graft of thousands of donors to the Steve Bannon Project. He has raised xenophobic fears in America in service of this prop. If there's going to be a monument to this president, it's not going to be to carve him into Mount Rushmore. I think it might be that we have to keep one small sliver of his wall as a monument to his incompetence.
Austin Evers is executive director of the Watchdog American Oversight. Steve Bannon joins a long list of Trump associates who've been indicted for various crimes. Michael Cohen, Trump's one-time lawyer and fixer. Paul Manafort, Trump's one-time campaign chairman. Rick Gates, one-time deputy campaign chairman for Trump also. Roger Stone, Trump's friend and political advisor. Michael Flynn, Trump's one-time national security advisor. Others not as close to Trump, but close enough. George Papadopoulos, one-time campaign aide. George Nader, informal campaign foreign policy advisor. And Chris Collins, the first member of Congress to endorse Trump. And you're listening to the news on WBAI New York. I'm Paul DiRienzo. Last night, the Democrats made history as Senator Kamala Harris became the first woman of color to accept a major party nomination for Vice President of the United States.
I accept your nomination for Vice President of the United States of America. Joe and I believe that we can build that beloved community, one that is strong and decent, just and kind, one in which we can all see ourselves. That's the vision that our parents and grandparents fought for, the vision that made my own life possible, the vision that makes the American promise, for all its complexities and imperfections, a promise worth fighting for. So make no mistake, the road ahead is not easy. We may stumble. We may fall short. But I pledge to you that we will act boldly and deal with our challenges honestly. In this election, we have a chance to change the course of history. We're all in this fight. You, me, and Joe, together. What an awesome responsibility. What an awesome privilege. So let's fight with conviction. Let's fight with hope. Let's fight with confidence in ourselves and a commitment to each other, to the America we know is possible.
Senator Kamala Harris, the convention has also been historic in the numbers of Republicans crossing over to throw support behind the Democratic Party ticket. The former chief of staff to former Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen, Miles Taylor, made a blistering comment about Trump's behind-the-scenes behavior, racist and dangerous. Taylor spoke on CNN. He says among Trump's most racist actions was his constant repetition of the demand to separate children from parents at the border and his opinion of Puerto Rico.
The president would tell us he wanted to restart it, and not only restart it, he wanted to expand it and actually go further and deliberately rip children from their parents as a means to deter people from coming to the border. That's inhumane, and it's un-American, and it's something we consistently said no to. And ultimately, it's one of the reasons why the president wanted us out of the administration, and I was glad to leave several months later. A lot of people went into this Donald Trump presidency thinking that the president's misguided impulses could be ameliorated. We were proven decisively wrong. The president's worst impulses can't be ameliorated. There was a time when, of course, we were spending a lot of our days down in Puerto Rico after the hurricanes wreaked devastation down there, U.S. Virgin Islands, and other places. There was a trip that we made down there in August of 2018, and I remember before we went, the president's talked before about wanting to purchase Greenland. But one time before we went down, he told us not only did he want to purchase Greenland, he actually said he wanted to see if we could sell Puerto Rico. Could we swap Puerto Rico for Greenland? Because in his words, Puerto Rico was dirty and the people were poor. I did not take it as a joke. And on multiple occasions, the president expressed interest in buying Greenland. And I'll go even further about Puerto Rico. The president expressed deep animus towards the Puerto Rican people behind the scenes. These are people who were recovering from the worst disaster of their lifetimes. He is their president. He should be standing by them, not trying to sell them off to a foreign country.
And that's Miles Taylor. He was the former chief of staff to former Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen. Trump, you might remember, had said in the past, referring to third world countries as S-hole countries, that why can't more people from Scandinavian countries like Denmark, a country that possesses Greenland at this time, come to America? Taylor's assessment of Trump was shared from an unlikely source, former President Barack Obama.
For close to 4 years now, he has shown no interest in putting in the work. No interest in finding common ground. No interest in using the awesome power of his office to help anyone but himself and his friends. No interest in treating the presidency as anything but one more reality show that he can use to get the attention he craves. Donald Trump hasn't grown into the job. Because he can't. And the consequences of that failure are severe. 170,000 Americans dead. Millions of jobs gone. While those at the top take in more than ever. Our worst impulses unleashed. Our proud reputation around the world badly diminished. And our democratic institutions threatened like never before. Now, I know that in times as polarized as these, most of you have already made up your mind. But maybe you're still not sure which candidate you'll vote for, or whether you'll vote at all. Maybe you're tired of the direction we're headed, but you can't see a better path yet. Or you just don't know enough about the person who wants to lead us there. So let me tell you about my friend, Joe Biden.
In his landmark speech, a rare send-down of a sitting president by a predecessor, Obama said the GOP is trying to suppress voters by creating doubt in the legitimacy of the election.
Well, here's the point. This president and those in power, those who benefit from keeping things the way they are counting on your cynicism. They know they can't win you over with their policies. So they're hoping to make it as hard as possible for you to vote and to convince you that your vote does not matter. That is how they win. That is how they get to keep making decisions that affect your life and the lives of the people you love. That's how the economy will keep getting skewed to the wealthy and well-connected. How our health systems will let more people fall through the cracks. That's how a democracy withers, until it's no democracy at all. And we cannot let that happen. Do not let them take away your power. Do not let them take away your democracy. Make a plan right now for how you are going to get involved and vote. Do it as early as you can and tell your family and friends how they can vote too. Do what Americans have done for over two centuries when faced with even tougher times than this. All those quiet heroes who found the courage to keep marching, keep pushing in the face of hardship and injustice.
Former President Barack Obama speaking last night at the Democratic National Convention. The nominee, Joe Biden, will speak tonight. And the coronavirus recession struck swiftly and violently. Now with the United States economy still in the grip of the outbreak, 5 months later, the recovery looks fitful and uneven and painfully slow. The latest evidence came Thursday when the government reported that the number of workers applying for unemployment climbed back over 1 million last week after 2 weeks of declines. The figures suggest that employers are still slashing jobs, even as some businesses reopen and some sectors like housing and manufacturing have rebounded. The scourge in the U.S. has killed more than 170,000 people and caused over 5.5 million confirmed infections, with deaths rising by more than 1,000 a day on average. Worldwide, the death toll stands at about 790,000, with over 22 million cases. The overall number of laid-off American workers collecting unemployment benefits declined last week from 15.5 million to 14.8 million. Many of them probably found jobs, but some may have used up all their benefits, which in most states run out after about 6 months. And in local news, residents fighting to save East River Park from being razed and rebuilt for a coastal resiliency project suffered a painful blow Thursday as a judge ruled for the city. State Supreme Court Justice Melissa Crane denied the plaintiff's request for a restraining order to halt the scheme, clearing the way for work to start in just a few weeks. Attorney Arthur Schwartz brought the lawsuit, known as an Article 78, which challenges a city decision on behalf of 90 organizations and individuals, including the group East River Park Action. The community litigation argues that under the public trust doctrine, the $1.45 billion project needs approval by the state legislature. The East Coast Resiliency Project would bury the existing 1.2-mile-long, 52-acre park under 8 to 9 feet of new topsoil to raise it above the floodplain. Up to 60% of the park will be closed at one time during the work. One of the plaintiffs in the suit is Lower East Side resident Charles Crizell.
Well, the suit was about the alienation of parkland in New York State. The law, we thought, read that parkland is used for any other purpose but park purposes, or taken away from public use for an extended period of time, the city would have to ask permission for alienation of parkland from the state legislature. And we're trying to get the city to actually get to the state legislature, which would have to pass a bill allowing them to do that. We were trying to force the city to request alienation from the legislature, state legislature.
And what did the judge say?
She said that she thought that the continued use of the park being rebuilt and destroyed for an extended period of time was still use of parkland because it was going to be rebuilt as a park. She sort of accepted the city's argument that was the case. We obviously dispute that, but that's the way she felt. I thought she was pretty sympathetic to our point of view in the fact that it's going to be a very sad day for kids when they close down the park by all the kids in this neighborhood and everybody else. Just goes over there to walk in the near the water and fish and run and bike and everything else. It can be very difficult for this neighborhood to be healthy with that park closed down for an extended period of time, which the city says is going to be 5 years or more. We think it's probably going to be closer to 10 years.
So what happens next?
We may think about trying to appeal the judge's ruling or make it much more of a public issue. I don't think people are still not very aware of what's actually going to happen in September. For October of this year, they're supposed to close down 60% of the park. People aren't going to be able to walk by the river and people are not really aware of that. It's been very difficult for us to get any publicity out of this, to get people, make people aware.
Why is that?
The city's kind of shut us down from the very beginning. They split the community, getting some people to say that this is a great deal because we all agree that we need flood protection. We just don't think this is the right approach to doing that. And to lose this resource for the community for such an extended period of time is really unhealthy for us all. So they were able to get other people to say, yes, well, you guys don't live next to the park, and therefore we need this protection more than we need flowers, basically. They were trying to make that argument.
There was a pretty strong windstorm just a few weeks ago, and the city wasn't really prepared for that, were they, despite all of this?
No, the city was not prepared for anything. We've been asking for temporary flood protection in this neighborhood for 2 years now, and the city has refused to even put up a sandbags along the East River where we are. They were happy to do it down by Wall Street, but there's nothing being offered here to help us in any kind of hurricane or bad weather.
What do you think the real reason behind this is?
The city wants to give contractors work. They're spending a lot of money, and somebody's making a lot of money on this. It's $1.5 billion. The city's out of money. Fiscally irresponsible is an understatement. We've been trying to figure out what the real reason is, and we have yet to come up with any plausible thing that doesn't smack of bureaucratic incompetence or collusion or something criminal.
Charles Crizell is one of the plaintiffs in the suit. The project area stretches from East 23rd Street to Montgomery Street. Organizers say that without state oversight, the city could use the project as a cover for gentrification projects. And that's some of the news for Thursday, August 20th, 2020. The news is produced with Linda Perry. Our engineer is Reggie Johnson. From New York, I'm Paul DiRienzo for the WBAI News. Thanks for joining us.